Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to the number one podcast, Entrepreneur for Life, the spot where you get all your information and tips on how to get a little more financially healthy. Yeah. I'm your host, Gideon Webb, with my homeboy, King Tone.
Yo, how y'all doing?
And today is going to be a little different. It's a little more just kind of very conversational. A chance for you guys to listen to some tips and advice from a couple guys who aren't quote-unquote experts, but just guys who can, you know, shed some light on our financial story and situation and some tips that you might be able to pick up on and take into your own life and become a little more financially healthy.
Yes.
I can be the first to admit I'm still in the learning process. I'm learning every single day. I study my financial status along with, you know, the world of finances every chance I can. It's something I'm very interested in. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I do a lot of research. And I try to apply what works to my life. So hopefully our listeners can take a little piece of this and apply it to your life.
Listen up.
So today we're going to be talking about those first financial steps you got to take in order to kind of get a grip on things. We've all been at a place where, I mean, let's just say it. We've all been broke. We've all been at zero. And if you haven't been, then maybe you don't relate to this. But, you know, we can talk about that for a minute. So, like, the place that I'm talking about where, you know, where you broke and everything you've worked for is gone and all your money's gone and you borrow money from people or, you know, you asking yourself, is that next? You know, am I going to be in that situation? Mm-hmm. And then you facing some real questions because, you know, whether you pay rent or not or whether you have children or not. You can't be in a situation where you broke, not in America.
Yeah, and I think actually finances relate to everybody, whether you're rich, you poor, you middle class, or whatever you classify yourself as. You know what I mean? Everybody wants to save money. So he's going to give you some keys that at least assisted him and that assisted us on how you save money, at least become financially educated in regards to the way your money is spent, the way that you invest your money and things like that. And how he's going to lay down these rules is not really rules. It's just actually, what can I say?
It's kind of a guideline.
Yeah, it's like a guideline. You know, and you don't have to do it in this order either.
Yeah, guidelines are made to be kind of just a path to where you need to get to go. You can always get off the path and come somewhere else with it. And, you know, you may find techniques that work best for you. You know, let me know. I'm open.
So basically, he's providing the tools. You have to build the
house. But we're coming from that place. We're coming from that place of broke. Yep. Like, let's just talk broke. We all been there. We all felt it.
Talk to him.
So that place of broke, you know, the first step I would say is self-evaluation. Mm-hmm. And in that self-evaluation, you just kind of got to look at what you have and what you don't have. You have to look at it in a real honest kind of way. You got to be truly honest with yourself. You got to be willing to face the facts harder than you ever have in your own life. You know, some people aren't willing to admit that they broke.
Yeah, it's like look at the man in the mirror, basically, and be honest with yourself, like he was just speaking on. But go ahead, keep elaborating.
Yeah, no, for real. You gotta look at the man in the mirror. It's about you. So taking a strong, hard look at yourself and do some self-evaluation. And in that, you know, you're asking yourself these questions of what you have and what you don't have. And the first question is, you know, do you even want financial freedom? Correct. Do you even want to pursue that? Is that your dream? So you gotta define financial freedom for you. And what is that? Is that saving for a house and a, you know, some kids? Is that sending your kids to college? Is that being able to travel? What is it for you? I'll speak for myself. My idea of financial freedom is being able to spend money without thinking about it and do the things I want to do in life without even worrying about it. That's my idea of financial freedom. What would you say?
Well, to piggyback off you too, it's basically to spend money and to not actually have to think about it. It's like to go on a trip. Let's say if you want to go on a trip and, you know, you have a budget for your vacation. That's not how you should take a vacation. You should definitely have a cap like, okay, I'm not going to go crazy and spend a whole bunch of money I don't have. But going on a vacation with a budget, it kind of sucks. So the thing is, I think like my brother Gideon was just saying, basically, to be knowledgeable about where your money is going and, you know, like understand like where do you want to be. Like he said, we live in a capitalist society, so basically it evolves around money. So the thing is, some people got to be herders, some got to be sheep. You know, there's leaders and there's followers. That's how this capitalism works. So if you want to be a sheep, there's no problem with that. Just master what you do
and make a decision for yourself.
You can be financially stable, being, you know, you don't have to be the head of the business. You still can be financially stable.
So in that self-evaluation and coming from broke, you know, at the step of defining financial freedom, asking yourself, what is it? You know, I would say the next step is, do you have a checking account? And, you know, the reason being is because you are in a system of capitalism that works a certain way. And in order to financially, you know, flourish, you're going to need it. You're going to need a checking and a savings account.
Correct.
So, you know, I would recommend a credit union, but I would also recommend you take the time to research and do it on your own and see what works for you, because a credit union may not be the best option. But whether you have good or bad banking credit, it will determine what kind of bank you can get. Now, if you can't get a bank, I will highly recommend an app that I've been using for the last 3 to 4 years, and this is a super jewel, so I wish I could throw a ding.
Talk to them, twin.
this is an app that I've been having a lot of fun with, and it allows you to be your own banker, and it's called Chime. And
how do you spell that for the
Chime? And you know, if you go to my link, you could, you know, help me out by giving me a referral. But most importantly, it'll just allow you to have a checking and savings account on your phone, through a bank. You can deposit the money, you can withdraw the money, you can be your own banker. And it's great because I check my money, I answer all the questions I would ask a banker right to myself in my phone. Now, it's not my primary account, but for someone who's had bank problems before, I'm sure this could help someone who has bank problems now and who needs to get a checking account, whether it's for direct deposits from your job, whether it's to pay your rent.
Correct.
If you need a checking account and you feel like you're out of the loop because you don't have one, Chime could be the option for you. And there's other options as well. Chime is highly recommended by, you know, financial agencies and news organizations all over. But you got to pick the one that's right for you.
Yeah, and just to piggyback off you, you know, I have a bank. But whether you choose a bank or a credit union, the whole point is putting your money somewhere where you know where it's going. Because all of the money that goes into the bank or the credit union is being invested somewhere.
That is. That is the biggest point, is tracking your money.
Yep, and what he said is what's awesome about the app is basically you could track your money. You could be your own banker. Yeah. So the thing is, by every cent or by every dollar, you know what's going on with all your money.
And it's just as important to open the right account. You know, as I said, like, you can't just open any account. You have to open the right account. You don't want to be caught in an account that's charging you, you know, too many fees and you're just getting up off the ground. So take your time in that process. And let's say, you know, you're broke, but let's say, you know, you have a job and you just keep kind of living check to check spending. This is where the track your spending comes in and determine your budget. So the next step actually in this process
and
kind of my formula is building a personal budget.
Yes.
And so in that budget, you're going to start to decide for yourself, are you living above your means? What is your means? How much should you be living at? And what do you like? What do you be realistic? Okay, so let me tell you a quick story. When I first started getting into like financial education and trying to save more money, that was one of the processes I, you know, first introduced myself to, and it was finding out where I was at. So, in all, I was spending probably $45 a day. But my means where I should have been spending was like $8 a day. And there's a formula, a way you can do that. So you take what you make and you minus what you spend and then you divide it by the amount of days.
Wait, calculate that up. Yo, one more time. Hey, that was a jewel right there. So
I want to make sure
he actually has an algorithm.
No, because I'm not a mathematician.
He's not, but he has an algorithm.
And I hope I'm doing this right. But it's essentially this. You divide it up by months, and you take what you make in a month,
12 months, right?
And you minus the amount that you spend on expenses.
And that's what expenses.
Expenses are everything. Expenses are everything you love. And this is a part of being real with yourself and deciding what you can live without and what you can keep. But let's just say, you know, you minus your expenses, and then you take that amount that's left and you divide it by the days you have left in a month,
Which is either 30, 31, or 20.
Yeah, we'll say, I think, you know, we could say it's safe to say 30. It's an average. Let's go 30, round it up. And then you decide how much you can spend a day of just extra money. Yeah. After, that's your means, pretty much. You know, unless you have other sources of income.
Yeah.
And then you can add those on as well. But the fact of the matter is, when I did it for myself, I was realized I was spending $40 to $45 a day on average a month. But my means really was $8 a day.
So basically your actual expenses were $8 a day.
No, my actual means, what I should have been spending,
which is mandated, a day. Like, which meaning, is mandated.
Which is, yeah. No, well I, even outside of that, like, because those I don't look at, like,
basically.
Living expenses, they're more like necessities. Like, correct. Okay, so check this out. So your means is after your budget is paid, because you paying for rent and everything, it isn't really like extra money. That's something you gotta take care of.
That's mandatory expenses.
Like,
it's like every
I can't
month.
Count that yeah. money as a part of yeah. my means, because it's gone as soon as I make it. Yeah. Like, that's not my means. My means is everything I got extra and what I can that's spend fast. That divided by my everyday spending every month. You know what I'm saying?
Awesome.
Like, so that's why, I mean, you know, you gotta really be serious about that. Like, people, when you're in that situation and you broke and things aren't going right, you have to really self-evaluate and go in that checking account and do a budget. And another jewel I'm about to drop, there's another app I've used and I swear by for years in order to help you with this process. It's a budget building app. It allows you to track your money. It allows you to save your money.
Yes.
It's called Mint.
Talk to him. How you spell it, brother?
M-I-N-T. And it's an app you can download anywhere on iTunes or you know, the Play Store or whatever. But you connect it to your checking account. Some people funny about this. They don't want to give up their Social Security card and all this. Do your research on Mint. It's highly accredited. It's a good app. There are no issues with it. It's like, you know, it's clean and legit.
And yo, I was just going to say, don't be afraid to give away, like, be afraid to give away your Social Security number.
Yeah, for sure.
But the thing is, you know what? Technically, you don't own your Social Security number anyway.
Yeah, the way I look at it.
And that was just a random jewel, but,
yeah, you know. The way I look at it is, we're all in the system. We're in the system. We're a part of it.
Like, don't give it to the dark web.
Like, come on, man.
And then another thing I wanted to piggyback before you change that idea, he said a personal budget. So you know what personal budget means? It means personal to you.
Yeah.
It means your budget is not influenced by if people think you're rich or you're poor, or what Facebook say, or what any other social media, or what anybody says. It's personal to you. So technically, like you said before, you got to be honest with yourself. You got to really be honest. Like I said, we were talking the man in the mirror logic. You really got to look at yourself and be like, yo, what can I really afford? And we start being honest with yourself, that's when life will be honest with you.
Yeah.
All right, go to that next one. I just didn't, you know.
Yeah, no, that's good. No, but being honest with yourself about your expenses and adding them all into the budget. So when you're looking at your budget, you know, if you're not adding that cup of coffee you get every morning, if you're not adding that, you know.
Get receipts to help you.
That Red Bull that you get every day. But you know what you where you're going and what you do. It's really self-evaluation. Like, I know for me, one of the things I really was eye-opening, I used to spend money on Arizona iced teas. I used to buy two a day.
Yeah.
I used to buy two a day.
They were
$1. Now, look at this. Now, look at this, yo. Look at this. Think about this.
Two a day.
I'm living in the ghetto, so it ain't many options. But this is how I quenched my thirst. Two to three a day. Now, times 30.
Do the math.
That's $30, right?
Wait, no, that's 60.
No, just one a day. It's $30.
You
but pay. I'm getting two a day, so that's $60, right? That's $60. And most times, you know,
on Arizona iced tea.
Most times the Arizona iced tea come with other snacks. But the iced tea was like a staple. That was something, wherever I stopped in the gas station, I grab one, whatever, I spend a dollar on it, right?
Mandatory.
Times 12, right? Those two.
Yeah.
Those two. Times 12.
What is that?
Six times 12, 24, 636.
48.
I mean, we got
60,
our phones right here.
No,
it's about
$720.
$720, right? A year.
I know my 12.
A year on Arizona iced tea. I'm living in the ghetto.
$720.
I don't own any stock in Arizona iced tea.
Ooh.
I don't own any interest in Arizona iced tea.
Ooh.
I just spend it. And not only am I wasting my money,
$720,
but I'm also killing my insides with sugar and fake ass iced tea.
It's something to make it taste like iced tea.
Right. And so I start to think about it, like, whoa. And my iced tea only $1, but I talk to friends who say every time I go on the gas station, I gotta get a Fiji.
That's
you feel me? So the Fiji is $3. So
and technically, I think that, you know, shout out to Fiji too. But technically, I think Fiji tastes good because of the way the bottle is shaped.
Like, we all got our vices.
I think, like, it's just regular water, right. But the way the bottle is shaped is kind of, you know.
It's just we all got our vices. That was my point, like. Everybody who's doing self-evaluation, do a real evaluation. Think about what it is that you waste the money on.
Self-evaluation. Personal to you.
And then, you know, also, in that self-evaluation, you're going to have to start trimming your budget and start to decide what you can let go of. And really let go of it and not spend your money on it. And how you can work ways around even still getting it without having to spend your money on it. Or just cutting it out your life completely.
Yep, sometimes you know it assists your quality of life. You know
what
I mean?
That's what about trimming your budget is like. Like, you know, there's things I know I like, but I really need them in my budget?
Yeah, I got a realistic aspect. Cigarettes.
Cigarettes, pure example.
Yo, I used to smoke cigarettes back in the day. You know, and this was back in the day because cigarettes were like $3 and like 20 cents, I think, a pack. So that was like, you know, that's the going rate. And then one time cigarettes raised to like $5, right? Mm-hmm. No joke. I had no intentions on stopping smoking cigarettes because I just started. You know what I'm saying? $5 a pack made me stop because I had to think about my personal budget.
And it's hard because you're dealing with not only an addiction, a chemical addiction, but then, you know, it's draining your finances.
And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes this can improve your quality of life. Absolutely. Next jewel get.
I would say, you know, after, you know, you've built this budget, and I highly suggest you get some help, because if you're not, I mean, everybody has their system. I met a person recently who still saves receipts, all right? But be realistic.
Dude, I still spend real cash.
Make it easy for yourself.
Like, how do I have a car?
And I was actually, that's a great segue, because the next part of this is, you know, for me is, and we may disagree on this, but to go cashless.
Agree to disagree.
Go cashless.
Agree to disagree. Because it's necessary at times.
And I'll give you my reason why, and you tell why not. But
talk to me.
So my reason to go cashless is because once you have that account and once you have the app set up for it, now all of your spending can be tracked. You can't really track cash. You can, because you can do with cash withdrawals for items and then make sure you make notes of where that cash is going. But if you want to make it easy for yourself and you're not a pro at this and you just need some help, you know, you go cashless and then you can really take a glimpse of where your money's going each and every penny.
I agree.
And the beauty with apps like Mint and Stash, they have roundup programs where you can take that extra change you spend on coffee and round it up. So for instance, for a year, I took that extra change and rounded it up and put it into a saving and an investment account. And now I'm doing three times. So if I spend $1.80 on a coffee, 20 cent times three will go towards a saving and investment account of my own.
Hey, yo,
I don't even think about it or look at it.
Hey, yo, can I get a rewind on that one? Hey, yo, can you explain that to them again?
Because, so some of these apps like Mint, for instance, or even more importantly than Mint, because Mint is more of a tracking app. There's an app out there called Acorns.
Talk to
them. Acorns.
How do you spell that?
A-C-R-O-N-S. Acorns.
Regular acorns.
Like the acorns. Like a squirrel eats an acorn.
But drop that jewel. Hey, drop that jewel about
Think about, you know, an acorn. So I use the roundup program with an app called Acorn. And it allows me to take that extra change that I spend every day with my debit card and put it to a saving and investment account. So if I spend $1.80 for a coffee at Starbucks, it's going to take that 20 cent and it's going to put it in an investment account. And now I've used the three times option, which will times that change by three to make it now 60 cent that'll go into a saving and investment account. And so I'm swiping every day, right? You swipe almost every day when you need to use expenses. But now that extra change, instead of going in your pocket, getting lost, or going on something else, or going in your car console, it's actually going in a saving and investment account. And, you know, I could give you the numbers right now and show you how much I've saved in spare change in the last 3 years. And it's actually ridiculous.
Hey, you know what's cool about that, too? It makes your account balanced. So, you know, when you swipe on a card sometime, you know what I mean? And the thing is, you spent $149.13. You know, you have an off account. Now, you know, if you had $200 in there, it's like, what? Now it's like $51 and some odd cent.
Mm-hmm.
Rounding it up, we'll keep your account always at $52.00.
Yeah.
Keep you at zero
keep
cent,
that change
which
out of there,
which
no,
will
no.
assist you on that. So
that's
I
never really thought of that.
Yeah.
For me, it was just a matter of, you know,
that's why
I want to have these consistent accounts with steady, slow growing money.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend so much money on BS. Why not have at least the change go through something that's like
makes you feel good about a BS spend?
So. Here's the facts. Here's the numbers.
Oh, you got some numbers.
In the past 2.5 years, a little under 3, I have invested.
Give them approximate
change.
And this is the change.
The
that
change.
He said.
The roundup change.
Yep, the roundup, y'all. Listen.
From every expense. So if it's $1.99 at Amazon, it's $1. It's a penny more, right? It's just
listen
a roundup,
up, y'all.
If it's $1.875 at Judy's, it's $0.25.
Whatever you spend.
Whatever's less to the next dollar.
Whatever you spend every day, basically.
So I did it 559 times.
Talk to him. That's,
and I ain't looked at that money, touched it or nothing. It's been sitting in the account.
So that would be like a year and like 10 months or something.
No, 2.5 years. About 2.5 years.
Days?
Well, yeah, maybe. Five.
Because during the 65 days.
Yeah,
that doesn't matter.
I've numbers invested.
Hey, I like that. Tell
the
me
numbers
how many
invested. 559 times I've invested. I've rounded up 559 times.
Mm.
I've rounded up my change from expenses. That I've swiped 559 times.
I thought it was
you
days.
Me?
Jules.
Yeah, 559 times.
Word, talk to me.
I've swiped and rounded up and invested.
Listen to him.
Yeah, total amount invested is $768.99.
Wait, say it again.
$768.99.
And how many times?
Every time you use a card that's linked to this app, we round up the purchase to make the next whole dollar and invest the spare change into an investment account. That's how it works. So I invest in a lot of different ways, but this is one way I started investing, which was round up my change because I didn't have even $5 to $10 a week to invest. So I started with investing my change.
Which is the smartest way to save money if you're not used to saving money.
I could take this money
correct.
right out now.
For the person that's not used to saving money, you know what I mean? Because everybody says a lot like, oh shit, it's so hard, I'm in stuff. You know what I mean? It's hard to save money.
Yeah, it's fine.
You know what I mean?
We can curse. It's
you know?
Fine.
Yeah, it's fucking hard to save money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It is hard.
Yeah.
It's assist you. This is what it's set up to do. So
the thing is, for those people
that
it's hard to save money for, this is the perfect way because everybody swipes nowadays. So, you know what I mean?
Because I encourage it because this is the age we're living. Plus, what are you going to do? How many times have you lost cash?
It's a change.
How many times have you lost cash?
Talk to him.
How does it feel when you lose cash?
You know what? Hey, you feel like a deer in the headlights. You don't know what the hell didn't happen. But you know what happened. But you know what I mean?
Cash is, I'm a cash man. I count cash.
You
know, I love cash.
Yeah,
but I realized I cannot track and save correctly without getting the cash out of my hands. It burns a hole in your pocket, literally.
It does for the majority of people.
You have to, understand. And then you don't know where it's going.
And so.
And even when you got a business, like that, if the cash comes in and you send it out before you track it, you never get to see your money grow.
I agree.
So what I did was every piece of cash I made, before I spent it, I put it in the bank. Even if I had to spend it that day, I put it in the bank.
Correct.
Why? Because at the end of the year, I want to see what's coming in and what's going out. And
correct.
That's the part of the budget you got to remember. You got to put that cash in the bank. If you have a small business that's bringing in cash, but you're spending the cash on expenses, you're never getting the chance to see that money grow. You're never getting the chance to look at your account and be like, damn, I'm doing good. That was my incentive, was watching those numbers go up. Like, I wanted to see more and see it in different places.
Yeah, and I was going to just say, and not to cut you off, but people just think like a bank and a credit union basically is a place where you just store money. The thing is, they invest your money.
Yeah.
So if you actually talk to one of them financial advisors, they will actually let you know where the money is going and you can have a bigger stake in actually what's going on.
Facts.
You know, so that's the thing. You know, a lot of people just think, you just put your money in the bank and it sits. Yeah, it does sit. And if you talk with a person at the bank, that's their job to break it down to you and let you know that you have options, whereas though you can put money in certain places.
But the sad part is, we know at the bank, man,
they don't tell you.
They don't even want to let you use the bathroom unless they know you're a member.
And let me tell you this. I was a victim of redlining.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yep, and redlining is the most horriblest thing. So put it like this. build up to hood, but don't get forced to build up to hood. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that you have the financial capital to do what you want to do as far as building homes in the hood. Because when you build up the home, they always got that plumbing problem. So make sure you guys be conscious of that, man. That was just a random jewel right there, but go ahead, get up there. You got another subject for us.
Yeah, bro. Man. So,
but yo, my fault. I want to tell you why that I like money over the swipe.
Thank you.
Yep, that's what we design. So the only reason I don't knock the swipe, you know what I mean? Especially from what my brother just told you guys about the swipe. You know what I mean? You guys swipe and it'll be better if you guys can invest the change. I think that's the greatest idea. And actually, I'm going to do it after this podcast. He's going to show me how to do it. And you know what? He's a hell of a seller for those accounts. So y'all need to give him
an extra money. So Acorns, call me.
Yeah. Holla. But yo, real talk though. But the reason I like money, because the thing is, like you were saying, it's hard to track, but it's easy for me to track because it leaves your hand. It leaves. You know what I mean? So the money is in my pocket and I know how much I got. So the thing is, when it gets low, I know it's low.
Let me ask you, at the end of the month, can you remember what you spent all your cash on? At the end of the month, when it's time to look at
your
budget and say where my money went, it's almost impossible.
No,
so that's why
the automated budgeting is ill. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because we're just saying, you can do the thing where as though you round up, but then also you can keep track of every dollar.
Yeah,
but you know,
and don't get me wrong, I keep emergency money on me, cash.
But
you already know tight spots or anything comes up, you're gonna need some cash, and you're gonna be looking like a fool if you can't get to an ATM or whatever.
And the beauty about it, that what we're both speaking upon now, is that he has a different way that he saves his money, and I have a way that I save my money, but yet it's still saving money.
That's the key.
Yeah, there is no like one way to do this thing.
Yeah.
So
you gotta find out what works for you.
Yeah, what works for you, definitely. And to me, like you said, cash does burn holes in pockets. Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? It's like it just doesn't do that for me. But I can't speak for everyone.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like I said, I think the most attainable way in this digital society that we're living in, you know what I mean, the technologically advanced society, is definitely the apps. And you know what Gid just told you, y'all need to get up on it, man. That's just real.
Yeah. So now you got a budget. And now you have a debit account, checking debit account. And now you're looking at where your money's going, coming in and out. You know, start to be honest and real with yourself. Remember, when you're making that expense at McDonald's, not only is it a financial expense, but it's a health expense as well. It's not only deteriorating your pockets, but it's deteriorating your health. You know, determine what's good for you and what you're willing to put an expense on. You can definitely save receipts. I would say save receipts not only because it helps you track your money, but understand now if you're going cashless, everything it will be tracked under your checking account. You will be able to check every freaking expense, but you'll be able to double check it with the receipts. But not only just save your receipts for that, there are apps right now out here that will pay you to take photos of the receipts to share your spending habits with advertisers.
Yep. So what does that mean?
I have a friend who saves every receipt.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the night, she takes pictures of her receipt and then she puts it out on the World Wide Web. It's actually my girlfriend. But
okay.
You feel me? She does it. And it's an extra stream of income. Because everything you spend, you could take a photo of it and sell to marketers who just want to know what a person your age from your demographic spends their money on.
And she gets paid to do it.
She gets paid to do it.
Did you just hear him say this was an extra income?
Extra stream of income. I mean,
these are jewels all day.
Quite frankly, it's not a whole lot. But there are multiple sites that do it. So if you do them multiple ones, you can actually triple up on what's out there. And what else you do with receipts?
Yeah.
You throw them in the garbage or you throw them in your pocket.
Yeah, talk to
me. So just like they're saving that change, you can invest that change into a saving and investment account or do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, I think I've been sold again.
Yeah.
I think I need that.
There are apps for that. There are apps for that. I know there are two to three very credible ones already that are out there.
Anybody right now real quick?
I don't, because I don't personally do it myself.
Not yet.
Like I said, a friend of mine does it. My girlfriend does it. But I don't personally do it.
Hey, yo, we gonna holler once we know.
Shout out Tasia Red.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Tasia, man.
Yeah.
Hey, yo. We gonna we'll let you know once we know it's legitimate because we like to drop facts.
I can't put my name on it, but I will say I watch her do it, and it's not. It doesn't take a long time. She takes a picture, she uploads it, she continues her day, then we throw the receipts away. So it's I'm gonna actually do it because now think about it. You got two people in the same household. If we both do it. Uh-oh. You feel me? On multiple apps. Now we, you know, feel me? Like, I thought about that too. So we're
gonna have her out.
Which kind of goes right into what we're talking about, which is, you know, you're there. Now you have to decide, do you have enough income coming in to cover your expenses?
Listen to what he just said.
Do you have enough income coming in to cover your expenses? And the answer is no.
Hey, break that really...
Because you're broke and you're in this situation now. So chances are you don't have enough income to cover your life, everything you spend, your living, your means. You don't. So what do? You have to try to get a better job, mm-hmm. bring in more streams of income, mm-hmm. find a side hustle, do whatever you can to bring in money. It's the American way, right? This is the American dream. This is what we're talking about. You're at square one. And you need to decide, what are your side hustles? What are the things you can do to bring in more money? How can you go to a job that provides you with more security or money? Whatever your path may be, you know what I mean? To provide for your family. How can you, but the bottom line is, how can you get more money into these accounts? So, how can you get more cash into these accounts? Period. Whether it's a job, whether it's a hustle, whether it's whatever, how can you get more money? How can you turn that $3 into $30, into $300, into $3,000? How can you do that?
How can you do that?
So you ask yourself, and you do that self-evaluation, and you start to ask yourself, I mean, this isn't a podcast about side hustles. No. We have one of those, so I'll let you do that. But that's where you're at, and you need to definitely evaluate your multiple streams of income and what's working and what's not.
Yeah, and people need to be the jack of all trades. Everybody needs a side hustle, and a side hustle isn't bad.
Yeah, but no, it can be exactly what you're doing right now, only you're making money for it.
And your 9-to-5 could lead to the money that you can get to ultimately.
If you're the listener and you have a 9-to-5 job, but after work, you like to come home and knit. Mm-hmm. Or you like to come home and work on your computer and design stuff.
Side hustle.
All that stuff can turn into something legitimate, which a lot of my listeners, I'm sure you guys already know. But the next part is creating a debt payoff plan, and that is determined on whether you have debt or not.
Y'all gotta listen
but
up.
But now that you got money and you got something flowing in, you gotta kind of put an eye on the debt that you have, whether you have it or not. If you have it, you know, don't ignore it. Don't let it get worse. Don't let it get on your credit. Start to pay it off slowly. Start to do what you can to, you know, have that plan.
And don't be scared. I was just gonna say, because you know that debt can actually be paid off slowly.
Yeah, at your pace.
They're gonna trust me, the bill collectors are going to call you and they're going to scare the bejesus out of you.
Yeah, they're
going
to say, you can't send us any less than $150.
Dude, you can send them $10 and I swear, you know what it'll do? You still will be in debt, but they'll never tell you. It'll keep building this thing called a credit score, which is very important in this capitalist society, because the thing is, they really don't care who you are unless you got money in full or a good credit score. That's how it works. But we're not talking about credit score right now, but trust me, all the people that's getting out of debt right now, slowly but surely, you are building your credit score.
Yeah, you definitely want to do that. I mean, in the process, and that, like he says, that's a whole nother podcast.
The littlest is enough.
But paying off your debt is important. Coming up with a schedule that works for you. There are apps that help you with that. Mint does help you with that. They set up reminders and things like that, so you can pay it off $5 at a time. As far as extra streams of income, you know, I would suggest looking around for just things that work for you and things that are already working for you. But then the next thing is, you got to start to think about emergencies and those times where anything can happen, because that's the kind of financial freedom, at least I want, where if something happens, you'll have the money to take care of it and not really, you know, stress about it.
Talk to them. That's a jewel right there.
You know, as you put money aside for your debt payoff, put also money aside for your emergency fund. Mm-hmm. Develop an emergency fund for yourself. You are your financial officer, unless you have, you know, a great wife and she decides to be that for you.
Uh-oh.
Or, you know, because you need a personal budget, but you also need a home budget. So when you have the home budget, you need a home financial officer, somebody that handles all that. But as far as speaking personal, which we are, and personal budgets, you ain't nobody else gonna hold you accountable. So you're your financial officer. You have to be personally accountable for your finances, and honest to yourself, you know, about about what's going in and what's out. How you're wasting your money. Are you buying pizzas 3 times a month? Are you, buying internet games? Are you wasting your time on the internet playing games? Like, be honest with yourself.
Yep. And the thing is, the beautiful part about a budget is that no one has to know about it. It's not like you got to put your budget on like a social media or something. You know what I mean? True. No one's going to judge you. So the thing is, you should determine your budget as unbiased and no one's going to judge you. Be really honest with yourself. Just to piggyback off what he just said, not to reiterate, but you got to really be real with yourself if you want to save money. And saving money is tough for a lot of people, but it's actually simple because there's many ways to do it. There's not one way to skin a cat. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? There's multiple ways to do this.
And that's where, that's where the emergency fund comes in, because
the
emergency fund.
Yeah, I was going to say, what contains the emergency fund?
Well, emergency fund, I think for me is.
Yeah, personally.
Account that I just keep putting money in and just keep putting money in and just keep putting money in. Correct. And just keep putting money in. And I don't know. I just leave it there in case anything happens and where, medical expenses or somebody breaks a leg or, God forbid somebody passes, just something like a bounce back. It's a safety net. It's something for you to, let's say, you lose your job and now you can, pay your rent with that safety net. And it's something, the more you put in it, the more proud you get about your accomplishments and feel like, damn, I am feeling a little more safety. My emergency fund is looking nice and fat right now, bring it on, like shit. Like, you know what I mean? You thinking like, a place where you can put it and just never have to mess with it. It's kind of like a backup emergency money.
Yeah. And I agree with that because that's something I can do. But for the people that can't do that, earlier on the app, when you were saying you save your change, that can be your emergency fund.
Yeah, for sure.
We're making it tangible. So everybody can actually do this.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that hard. And start small. When I started getting serious about my financial future, I started at $5 a month because I realized I wasn't even doing that. I wasn't even saving $5 a month. And so I started at $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, man, $5 ain't nothing.
Yes.
I'm worth more than that. Mm-hmm. I moved it up. And today I'm still evaluating my finances. Looking at what's coming in, looking at what's going out, and deciding if I can save more, and deciding what, I'm worth more than that. I can save $500 a month. I can save $1,000 a month. I can save $1,500 a month. I can do this. It's been a personal challenge for me, like people get addicted to like video games, and they want to get the highest score. I want to get the highest score in my Mint account. I want to get the highest score in my bank app.
I got a question real quick.
Sure.
Hey, yo, when was the first time you started saving the $5 a month? About approximately how many years ago?
Sadly, only like 4 years ago.
Not sadly, but the thing is, I didn't mean to cut him off because he got Jewel. But 4 years ago is when he got all this knowledge that he's telling you today about what he's doing about finances.
Yeah, well, 4 years ago was the decision when I just decided to stop playing. I mean, I was saving money, but I wasn't tracking it, and I wasn't keeping it wisely. I wasn't spending it wisely. I was living more than I was saving, which is cool too. You gotta live.
You gotta live.
But you can't live above your means. And then the other thing that I always gotta bring up is, that woke me up was I went on Twitter, and I had 20,000 tweets.
Oh. Snap.
20,000 times.
20,000?
20,000 times I went on Twitter and said something. Right? Something like that. Some crazy number. Maybe it was 12. Maybe it was 15.
But whatever it is. It's a lot. Thousands.
And I thought about it and I was like, damn, I don't even have that in my bank account.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hold on. Twitter ain't paying me to do these tweets.
Uh-huh.
Twitter don't give me no money.
But you know
what? To curate this content. You know what I mean? It helps me build my audience.
Yeah.
But it don't give me no money to put all this content on there. So I pulled back from all the social media for a long time. And I decided to focus more on the money. And then the other part is,
So basically, first you cut social media out your life just for a
second. Not even totally, but yeah, a lot. Like, you know, instead of making it consume you, putting it on the back burner. It's all about what's on your phone. I want everybody out there to go and look at what's on your phone when you open it up. Go look at what's on your phone. Look at what's on that homepage. Look at what's on that homepage.
Look at the timeline.
Is it... What's your finger most close to get? Is it that game? Is it that Facebook app?
Okay.
Like, what's close on your phone? You know, like, people have their phone and they have their screen and they put their apps where they want because so they're close to get,
yeah,
right?
Correct.
It's like, what are you spending your time wasting to do? Is it the shopping app? Is it the internet? What is it, right?
Yeah,
so I decided to put my finance apps and just my finance apps only on my homepage so that the first thing I would do would focus on was just my finances every day.
So that's
painstakingly. It's like, you know, it is what you feed your energy. Like, your brain is what you put in it. So instead of putting apps in the front that are all about social media, how about apps that are about selling and reselling and making money?
Yeah.
And putting those, like you see on my phone,
closest
to my finger, selling apps. My social apps is here, but my finance is right here.
Yep.
You feel me? Because it's
correct.
It's the closest
it's by,
to
it's
get
by,
to.
It's by your yeah. right-handed, your right thumb.
It is. And when you click on my finance app on my phone, you have, you have 14 finance, at least 12 to 14 finance apps on my phone that are all about finance.
So basically what you want to do is you want to group everything in your phone. That's a good jewel too that you did
yeah,
say.
Yeah, you do.
As far as grouping your applications.
If you, can, if your phone can do it, but just making sure that what's on the front of your mind and in your phone is...
What's most important.
What's most important, your money, like prioritizing. Like, you know, I know people that tell me they broke, but then right before I talk to them, they sitting on the phone playing video games.
Talk to them.
So, tell me why you broke. You sitting on the phone playing video games. You have a smartphone, but you treating it like a dumb phone.
Yeah.
Your phone is smart for a reason. It's supposed to make you smarter. So, you know, use these items in order to, you know, get better at what you do.
Yep.
But the last thing we talked about, I think, was the debt plan. There was a couple more.
We had a couple more. Let's knock the summary out.
The debt plan, the emergency fund.
Yeah.
Continuing to focus on your financial education, meaning, like I told you when I started this podcast, I'm always learning. I'm always researching. I'm always listening to other people's podcasts. Mm-hmm. I'm always trying to find out what's next. Just last week, there was a company. I won't mention it, but it was dying out, and it was on its deathbed. It was only $7 a share, and I did so much research one night on this stock. Right, $0.07 a share.
Lucky seven.
I woke up in the morning. I bought 343 shares. Right, $0.07 a share. Right.
Well,
the next day, like all the stock investors said, it was going to do its last hoorah, right? And it did. It jumped up to like 60 cents a share, right? So I like quadrupled my little change. I should have put way more in it, but I'm not a heavy investor. I'm just trying to learn. But then this is the thing. I've been trying to search through all the madness and find credible sources. I do know a few. And so I'm just looking. I did the investment and I made the money. I pulled out immediately because the investors said they were going to tank. They tanked and I made a little money. Look, you gotta do your research.
And to me, that's a jewel, but I just want to do a rewind on how much you put into it.
I put in 7 cents a share.
7 cents per share. And you bought 149.
I only bought 150 stock. No, I bought 343 shares.
Okay.
I bought 343 shares at 7 cents a share.
And then, the next day,
it went up to 60 cents a share.
Y'all do the math.
Yeah. It was a nice little chunk of change, about $200, $180 or something.
Watch the failing businesses.
But it was only a $20 failed. Investment. It was only like, I put $20 on that, maybe.
So approximately 18. What you made?
It was 400% what I put in it. So.
Yeah, there you go. Multiply that.
But it's the stock game. You don't always get that lucky. My point is, I just did the research.
Yeah.
I was out there looking to see what was next and what was happening in the stock market. I went for credible sources. Do the research. Continue your financial education. Keep just learning, man. It's fun. You know what I mean? Have fun learning about your finances and what you can do, which provides you a chance to the next subject, which is preparing your legacy. You know, deciding what it is you want to do. Like, this is your legacy. This is what you have. Where is it going to go? Who's going to get it if something happens to you? And, you know, how are you going to use it to provide the next generation with something that's strong and equitable and with value? And that's, you know, that's something that each one of us has to do at some point. But I think for most people, it's best to do it now. It's best to, like, start thinking about it, especially with this new age we're living in.
Correct.
Where you don't have to, like, you know, just leave one will with one account. You know, you can actually leave a digital will that have access to all your accounts, and your family and friends or loved ones that are part of you can have access to your digital will to, you know, continue your legacy. Like,
yep, and I was going to say, you know, you have
real.
To, yep, and that's real. And you continue your legacy by getting life insurance.
Mm.
People of color, poor people, get life insurance.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. And once you start getting some income and you out of that hole, mm-hmm. you can start to think about things like life insurance, like home insurance.
But if you're poor and not financially stable, or, you know, or mm-hmm. if you're rich, whatever. The thing is, if you work at a 9-to-5, you can get life insurance.
Yeah, and even if
literally
you don't,
it costs like $3 a month, yeah, sometimes
and,
maybe
$12. And even
$12.
If you don't, you can get life insurance.
It's something.
There's opportunities out there. There's money, or there's places that'll take like $15 a month for decent life insurance.
And like I said, you don't want to get buried and have your family with a debt. You know what I mean? Look out, because the thing is, eventually everybody's going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is a deeper subject, but being honest on the finances.
Yeah.
Your finances got to go to somebody.
And that's what it means, like preparing
your
legacy.
So
what's
that's
next?
What I'm saying.
No,
who does
sure.
it go to?
Yeah.
You're preparing your legacy.
Yeah. So, like, you know, our feedback is just something that we want to share with you guys. If you follow it or not, it's totally up to you. This is an adventure for us all. We're trying to, you know, get better at finances and keep our money intact. For me, to kind of sum things up, you know, I would say the biggest thing is, you know, track your money, build your budget, track your money, and also find some income streams that can work for you, that are already working for you, that can bring you more cash, because it's really, saving money is not going to get you rich. Bringing in money is going
to
get you rich.
Talk to me.
So you have to bring in the capital. Like, you can be financially straight and live within your means at a certain budget and be straight. But if you want to be rich, you're going to have to find money where you can save out the wazoo. Like, you can have money coming in from all angles, like whether it's real estate, whether it's retail, whether it's independent sales of your music or sculptures, or art, whatever. This is money you can use to build your financial legacy. You know, and
correct.
Depending on how you use it will determine where it goes. For instance, someone buys your piece with cash. You never let that cash see the bank.
Talk to them.
Or grow. And even just sitting in a bank may not be the best option. You may want to take that cash and put it somewhere else. But
correct.
That cash has to come in before it goes out again. If you go spend it right away, it may not, you know, you may not ever get a chance to see it. And so use those small moments, those small wins as motivation to keep saving and keep, you know, hustling.
Word.
For sure.
Yo, I guess I got to say me a last thing, right?
Go ahead, brother.
Yo, so the last thing is basically, if everybody wants to save, do it at your own pace. Drive your own car. Some people like Mercedes, some people like Beamers, some people like whatever their cars is. It has to be personalized. And I think that's one thing that you said that really needs to stick in everyone's head.
Yeah, what works for me is not going to work for everybody.
Yeah, what's good for the goose is never good for the gander, as they say. Old school time.
Because everybody has to kind of determine their why and their reason why they're doing this. And,
correct.
You know, if you don't have a why, it's probably because you're living with your mom in the basement and you don't have any expenses or reasons to... you know, get out of the basement. So when you're ready to get out the basement,
talk to him.
Holla at us.
Hey, yo, this is what you do, man. Hey, yo, this is King Tone, man. Signing off with my brother Armageddon. And like I said, just stay financially educated. And it's not like if you're not spending money, you're in trouble. No, it's not like that. But what you need to do is start thinking, because time is moving, even though you're not moving. Like, if you're slipping today, and this is a Thursday, tomorrow's still Friday, with or without you, whether you move forward or not. So just think about how the world is moving forward, especially with those apps that he was talking about, And, you know, like you were saying, money does burn a hole in the pocket. But the thing is, you should have your money in multiple places, kind of like the jack of all trades, similar to what you were saying. So, yep.
So however you want to do it, go with what works. You know what I mean? For some people, it might be what works, and that's where they put all their money and time, and I can feel and love that. For others, it might be, you know, all over the place. And so, you know, it's all about what works for you. That's the biggest thing, man. Yeah, man, we signing off for the hottest podcast on the internet. Thank y'all for listening. Entrepreneur for Life.
Thank you, thank you.
We got so much more coming up. Make sure y'all like, subscribe, and please share. Check out those apps. Use my referral links. You can catch the links on Instagram. Also, all you got to do is search us on Google. You check us out. Don't forget, we got a new podcast just started. Check it on Google Podcasts. Check it on Acorn. Search Murder After Midnight.
Yeah, yeah.
The new podcast coming soon. We got one episode up there and more to come.
Yep, definitely, yo. Peace out. Signing out, America. Love.